And we would encourage any to think about their condition this morning or anything we might be able to help them with. Certainly, we would encourage you to allow us to know that even at any time you choose to do so by raising your hand. We've been talking about a church that is strong, and certainly what we're going to talk about from this point forward is the positive aspects of this. We were talking about each church is measured by the standards of Jesus Christ and not measured by what we might think. What we might think is strong, God might consider weak. What we think of as doing well might not be doing well. My voice is weak. I'm sorry about that. I've had some issues, but doing much better. We need to be careful to use God's standards, not our own. And a local church is only strong as the Christians assemble there. So when we think about that, we've been talking about the churches of Asia Minor and that are recorded in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And we talked about the fact that those churches are in now what's called Turkey. And certainly none of those are there today. There are some evidences of them, but the churches themselves aren't there. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. This is, I just think sometimes that we just, what a mighty God we serve. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God. When He says something, when He opens it, it's open. When He shuts it, it's shut. We need to understand that and not start thinking that we as humans can make changes we want to. He says, I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. Have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you've kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one can take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says in the churches. When we think about this and we think about the fact that we've got seven churches, seven that had started out doing exactly what God said, that God had added those people to His church, and they had chosen to assemble together in local congregations at various places. And out of the seven, we have two that are complemented. And if you think about it, the great compliment of saying you have a little strength is pretty amazing, isn't it? We tend to think of ourselves as we're this great people doing the work of the Lord. And in truth, if we have been complimented by God of having a little strength, that's pretty precious, isn't it? And we talked about love and how that had gone away from these churches. And certainly he talked about that with the church at Ephesus. And so many of these churches had lost their first love. And I used each letter of that, love. And think about Jesus Christ. He lived on this earth to serve. That's love. He openly showed His love. It was not something He hid. He showed it in His life. He let people know about it. He didn't have some mushy feeling toward people. He expressed it in what His life, in His death, in His resurrection. He valued others above Himself. He gave Himself for mankind. He died on that cross as a sacrifice for our sins. And what an encourager. His whole life was built around encouragement. Encouraging people to get back to doing what God wanted them to do. Encouraging them to live correctly. And encouraging them to stay strong and told them, you can do this. So when we think about this, the first thing I want to talk about this church in Philadelphia is, he said, I know your works. When we think about works, a strong church does good works. Both the individuals do the works and the church as a whole does the works that God wants them to do. You do that by walking in truth. In 3 John 3 and 4, he talked about a man who walked in truth. This man was a man we certainly could look up to. A man who was trying his best to do what was right. His name was Gaius. And he says, just as you walk in the truth. Could we get a higher compliment than that? To know that we walk in the truth. That when we say something, we back it up with God's Word. went a little too fast there. Ordained by God. It is works that God has told us to do. Not of works we think up. Oh yeah, like Glennon talked about, people think up these works and they decide to do certain things and they think they're such a good thing to do and they choose when to do them and how to do them. And they never look to see what God's authority is. For by grace you have been saved, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not works that we could pat ourselves on the back about and say, what a wonderful group of people we are. No, let me tell you what they are. For we are His workmanship. You look at us, this is God's work. We're His workmanship, so He has a right then to tell us what to do. When did He determine what we should be doing? On the spur of the moment? No. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. How long ago? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God already knew what was good works, and He knew what was bad works. These are observable works. You can see them in people. Again, it's not works that are open to everyone. It's something that when people come here, they know we're going to do this consistently. Because we have the authority of God to do it. As we talked about, every first day of the week we partake of the Lord's Supper. We're consistent in that. As was pointed out in what was said by Mark and in the prayers that Mark and Brad led and also what Glendon said. We're consistent in it. We observe the same things all the time. People say, well, doesn't that get boring? You're going to tell God that what He's asked you to do is boring? No. It's wonderful every first day of the week. It revives us. It builds us up. We practice those things He wants us to. In 1 Peter 2:11 and 12, brethren, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe. Glorify God in the day of visitation. How do we know that these are the proper ones? Bad works don't glorify God. We just read that about five churches and their works were not good. And their people were not good. And as He told the rich in 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19, they needed to be rich in good works. And I would argue we all need to be rich in good works. We need to be full of them, always doing what God wants us to do. And as He said in Titus 3, as Paul wrote to Titus, we need to be ready for every good work. And when we think about this, He told him to tell others, to remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And then He talks about some things not to do, to speak evil to no one, but to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Good works. Works that God before ordained that we should walk in them. And then we need to keep them to the end. This is not something that we start out with and then we get tired and after a while we just don't want to do that anymore. We keep the works that He's asked us to do, both as a congregation and as individuals. We don't quit doing what God said in verse 26. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. It's a never-ending thing. And why would it be? And why would we want it to be? It should be something we want to do. And then steadfast in them. Something we keep up, we do it, and we love doing it because, as we pointed out, it's all based on love. We have the perfect example of love. Why wouldn't we want to do it? If we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. Be steadfast, immovable, in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just always in the work of the Lord, but always abounding in it. Making something that's always, and it's of a large measure, something, again, you're noticing the theme of all of this. But He said another thing about them. It was doing, they had kept His word. They had kept His word. How do we keep His words? Well, a strong church will obviously do that because they'll be written in our heart. In Hebrews 8:10, He talked about this new law. One, and He said this new law would be something that would be totally different from that law of Moses because He wanted people to do something differently with it. That they would understand and it would be a part of us. It would be us. The Word would be us. It would be in us. And just like Jeremiah said, as we were studying the class this morning, he just couldn't keep from talking about it. If it's in us, we can't keep from talking about it. It'd be written in our hearts. going to be known and read by of all men, certainly, but this is a covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. But it'll be obeyed from the heart. It won't be just something I'm doing this because I must do it. That old law, a lot of it was just doing what God said. Do it exactly the way God said it. But this one comes from us. We want to do it. Every first day of the week, we want to be here. It's where we want to be. We don't even think about anything else. But whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in Him. By this we know that we are in Him. It comes from inside of us. And it's rightly divided. It's not just something, again, that someone says, well, let me just show you how smart I am and let me tell you how to do this. I will tell you again from the pulpit, don't ever follow me unless you know that I'm following Christ and following God. If I can't give you Scripture for it, don't do it. We need to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God. Diligent in that. Approved unto God. Not unto a man. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. A worker that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of God. Is it the preacher's responsibility to rightly divide it for you? I might help you with your responsibility to rightly divide you. We do that. And we better continue to do it. It needs to be demonstrated. You notice how many times when I'm talking about this, it's not something that we just say. It's not just something that no one can see. Truth is, if we have His Word in us, it's going to come out. It's going to come out in so many ways in 21 through 25 of James 1. First of all, it's going to do some things. It's going to lay aside all filthiness and overflow wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. Have you noted something here? You can't have the implanted Word of God and the overflow of wickedness. You just can't. Those two things won't go together. You've got to get those and let that come in. And once that let comes in, you're going to put the rest of it out. You can't have all both sin and goodness in you. That's what's able to save your souls. And so how does this work? But I just heard it. I'm good. I've got faith in it. I'm leaving. Be ye doers of the Word. More than just faith. It's faith to do what He said. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man that beholds his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he looks like. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deeds. It's demonstrated. We do it. Then he says, you kept my command to persevere. See, it's not just important that we do the right works. It's not important that we just keep His Word. It's important we keep on keeping on. We persevere through everything. We never let anyone get us down. What if false doctrine comes in? We fight it. What if people want to do things that are wrong? We fight it. What if tribulations come? We fight it. What did Brad say in his prayer earlier? I don't care what comes our way, we have no fear. Because it's not about this life. We persevere. We're looking for a home eternal. A strong church perseveres. It'll hang on. You know why this church is still here today? Because people persevered. People stayed with it. People worked hard at it. Was it always correct? Always been correct? We do everything perfect? No. But we need to be striving for that if we want to be right in God's sight. Every one of these words will go with perseverance. We need to be patient. Wait on God. Patient in tribulation. Who are we patient with? God. We need to be patient through that. Understanding that it is Him that can get us through tribulation. It is Him that gets us through all these hard times. It is through Him that we can make it. We need to be enduring. The idea of persevering is to endure through everything. In James 5:10 and 11, he says, I'll give you an example here. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. All these words, by the way, can be translated different ways. But he said, you've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very merciful and compassionate. And think about this for a moment. When I look back at Job, I'm thinking Job didn't even have the written word of God. Here's Job going through all these things. He thinks it has to be God. He obviously doesn't have a knowledge about Satan. He doesn't understand how it all works. And then he's complaining against God. But he was patient through the whole thing. He stuck with his three friends who weren't his friends, and he went through this whole thing very patient. Endured it. He wished he'd never been born, but he endured it. And then what did God do for him? Well, God showed His compassion and mercy at the end. That's what He does. That's why we need to make it through it. We need to be resistant. We need to be able to stand against it. We need to be able to do what we need to do in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He said, you're not the only ones that have gone through something. And I think of how little we go through, and yet we don't resist Him. We need to be resistant, severe through it all, whatever it might be in life. Again, steadfastness. We need to have that steadfastness. Another scripture that talks about that, Colossians 2, verse 5, talks about it, just like 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul used it there. Steadfastness. He says, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it, to say about a group? You're steadfast. You keep going. You just do it every day, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. Steadfastly doing it. Not just haphazardly doing it, not doing it once a year, not doing it every once in a while. Doing it all the time. And established in it in Colossians 2 again. Just stay there in verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Have you noticed how many of these scriptures say the same thing? I wonder why. Because the same thing needs to be said over and over and over again to remind us. Just like these churches need to be reminded over and over again. We've just talked about all these rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, and abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then we need to be valiant. In Hebrews 11, he talks about a group of people. A group of people who went through some tribulations. A group of people who went through a lot. A group of people who were chastened of the Lord because everything they went through. God put them through those things so that they could get better, and they did. And we look at them and we're amazed sometimes at how they stood for God through all of that. And they did. And understood things that sometimes we seem to struggle understanding. They knew things. It's amazing, like an Abraham and a Sarah who understood things. Looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Understood it was way beyond their life that all of these things would happen, but yet stood there. And yet He talks about others as well. Some we forget. Some that we don't even know about. There's many, many in the Old Testament. Well, they're not mentioned. Maybe the Mike Humrichs of that day. Maybe the Kyle Joneses of that day. Maybe the Pam Garretts of that day. Not mentioned. But they were there. And what do we find? We find in 32:38 that all of these people that he mentions, and he mentions some more, he talks about what they did. Some that we don't even know that it happened to them. But we do know that some of them quenched the violence of fire in verse 34. Escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, became valiant in battle, turning to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. They were valiant in battle. And I'm going to use it for the greater term. not just in those physical battles where they were fighting the enemies of God hand to hand, but they were valiant. They stood. They stood for God. And we need to be emboldened. We need to have the courage to always stand and do what God wants us to do, to always live it in our lives and teach it to others, and never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. So many of these early Christians, they weren't ashamed. He warned Timothy, Paul did, don't be ashamed of me or of the gospel. You need to be emboldened to teach truth, never backing down. Do it with the right way, but always do it. But even after we've suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. He said it was such an easy thing to do. It wasn't like Abe Martin coming here, and I don't concern myself on Sunday morning. Usually you don't throw tomatoes at me or anything. So it's an easy thing to come and preach. That wasn't what Paul was going through. Now what will happen if that happens? There's other countries in the world where that's not true, where they have to show their boldness every time they get up, knowing if that's the last time they'll ever speak God's Word. Trusting in God to take care of things fully. Emboldened. He did it. And then remains faithful. Remains faithful through the whole thing. That means we'll persevere. We will not give it up. We will keep on keeping on, as he talks about in Colossians 1:21. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he's reconciled in his body of flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And he goes on to say, if you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast. That's what it takes. Remaining faithful. As he would tell the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2 verse 10, they needed to be faithful even unto death. If death was coming their way, remain faithful. Don't give it up. Don't let Satan tempt you not to do what's right, as he wrote to the church at Smyrna. To persevere means we emulate others. We will emulate our Lord and Savior. He is the greatest one we will follow. There's no one written about in the Bible that we need to emulate more than our Lord and Savior. No one. Perfect example. Not one fault. Not one thing wrong in his life. There's a lot of other people we can emulate. We can emulate even people in this life, and it's good that we do that. But make sure they're emulating Christ, as Paul would say. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow his steps. We want to persevere. These are some of the things we need to do it. One other thing he talks about, and no, I'm not going to give you the whole list of this. This is just putting this one up here, so you don't have to worry about me putting a long thing up there again. He said, you have not denied my name. You ever thought about what that means? Have you ever thought about in your life, have you ever denied Christ? Oh, no, I've never done that. I have never, ever denied Christ in my whole life. Never. I wouldn't do that. No way. And at that point, we've not told the truth. We deny Him in so many ways, and that's what He's telling about. You have not denied my name, my authority. You didn't do anything so far that violates what I've asked you to do. You've not denied my name. It's more than just willingly confessing Christ, which I'm sure they did. I think they would have confessed Christ before anybody. Just like he said, you confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Confession, though, is more than just saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's much more than that. It's a change in life. It is our life. It is our confession. It is what we do. We believe in Him. We're not ashamed of Him. What it is, they wouldn't deny Him in word or deed. They would say nothing that would violate anything that He had said. They would do nothing that would violate anything that He said or told them to do. They tried their best to be a group of people that completely followed Christ and His Word. And that's why God's pleased. That's why Christ is coming to say, I'm pleased with this group of people. You have a little strength. Ask the question again. Which church out of this group would you want to assemble with? I can tell you right now, I would want to be at Philadelphia or Smyrna. I don't know about the rest of you. But if I was at one of the other ones, would I stand? Would I stand against some of those things? Would I stand for truth? Would I say, let's don't do these things because we're going to violate God's law? Would I be a Joshua or a Caleb, or would I be one of the other 10 spies? I hope that I would be one of those two. But let me tell you, which church do I want to assemble with? This one right here. I'm thankful that God placed this group here. I'm thankful that God chose to add each one that's a Christian to His church. And I'm glad that all of you have chosen to be here today. I'm glad you're a part of this local group. It is so encouraging to be here today, to be with you, to eat of the most beautiful meal that we could ever eat of today. There's nothing more beautiful than this meal we had. It's a meal that we have fellowship with one another in, and with fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In thinking about that, I want to be a part of that. If you're not a Christian, don't you want to be born into the family of God through immersion, through baptism? Don't you want to become His child? And if you're a child of God and you have any other needs, don't you want to change those today? Either some you can change personally or some you need some help with, you might want to ask. We certainly would be glad to pray with you and for you. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?